You have to feel safe for your hormones to be balanced. That's why fasting didn't work for women to do all the time, because people, the body was like, wait.
Too stressful.
It's too stressful. But cycling fasting works for women.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness. Very excited about our guest. We have the inspiring Dr. Mindy in the house. So good to see you.
Thank you. So great to be here.
You are an incredible fasting expert teaching people how to burn fat, balance hormones, and live better lives. And my first question is, I'm going to set you up. How do we look and feel younger? How do we burn the fat that we really don't want on our bodies faster? And how do we have the best sex of our lives through fasting?
Oh, wow. We're gonna put all those together. Okay, let me start with a principle, and then I'm going to answer each one individually.
Perfect.
So here's the principle. We have two energy systems, one where we create energy when we eat, and one energy system that kicks in when we're not eating.
Okay,
this is where every diet has ever failed. This is where aging starts to speed up. This is where you get your libido wrong, is because every conversation around nutrition has only been around what we should eat. And what fasting is doing is I'm now, and me plus many other experts are coming to the masses saying, why don't we talk about when we eat? So when your blood sugar starts to come down, usually around 8 hours, 8-10 hours without food, you switch over into what we call the ketogenic energy system. It's also, I like to call it the fat burning system, because it's there that your body burns fat for energy. We're like a hybrid car. And so you switch over, you start burning fat for energy, you make something called a ketone. Ketone goes up into the brain, it shuts off hunger, it amps up GABA, so you get a lot calmer, and it gives you incredible mental clarity and insane energy. If you never go 8 to 10 hours without eating, you will never tap into this system. And so you never get that limitless feeling that we're all getting from fasting. And so if all you're doing is working with the one energy system, you are absolutely accelerating the aging process.
Really?
And every diet's going to fail you, because what ends up happening is you're only focused on food, and that's why we're hopping from diet to diet to diet. You know, this is great, then this is great, then this is great.
So you could eat all the right foods, but if you're eating it too frequently, you're still going to gain weight.
You could potentially still gain weight.
If you're not taking at least 8 hours of rest, if you're just constantly eating every hour,
yeah.
Right? Or
that's
every
right.
few hours, constantly eating.
Yes.
You could gain a lot of fat.
Yeah. So think of it like exercise. What would happen if you just kept working out and working out and working out? Every day was like a hard workout. There's no recovery. It's the same thing with fasting. You're giving your body a chance to recover. And the longer you let it recover, the more healing switches turn on. And that's why it slows down aging. That, and you're burning fat in the process. Mm. It's the recovery that matters.
Wow. So if you're, but when I go a long time without eating, I feel really hungry.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel sluggish or tired at the same time. So when is it that we get this unlimited feeling or this burst of extra energy? When does that happen after extending the window of not eating?
Yeah. So the first thing is it's a training process. So it's just like, you know, if you're going to run a marathon, you don't just throw on some shoes and go 13 miles. You're going to feel pretty bad.
I did that before. And I got the flu right afterwards. I ran a marathon without training. Well, maybe it was like 3 weeks of 3 miles at a time training.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't training.
Yeah.
And I was sick for days and I couldn't walk and I had the flu and it was just like miserable. Yeah. I finished it, but my body said that was a big mistake.
That's right. Yeah.
And I paid the price later.
Yeah. And that's the same thing that happens with fasting, is that people go, oh, fasting's not for me. It didn't work for me. Okay, well, I could say that, you know, that about a training that I didn't properly train for. So what we've got to do is start to slowly work people into this fasted state. And usually I tell people, you want to get pretty much to like 12 hours in the beginning. Can you go 12 hours every day? And then you might suffer a little bit, but check this out. In the suffering, your body's healing. So it's called a hormetic stress. You're pushing your body just with enough stress that you're forcing it to repair itself. It's the same thing you do every time you go into the gym. You're stressing your body so the body repairs itself and makes itself stronger. So when you go into this fasted state, around 12 hours, the body's repairing. Now, what I tell people is if you're suffering at 12, switch back to food and then go again next day, maybe go another 12, another 13 maybe. And then when that gets easy, you start compressing your eating window more and more, leaving longer time for fasting. So you just didn't train yourself.
Right. And is it better to fast in the morning or at night? Because some people wake up and they want to eat right away, but they say, I can skip dinner.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, you got to skip breakfast and then you can eat a little later.
Yeah.
Have you seen the data on skipping breakfast versus skipping dinner and the benefits for fasting?
Yeah, this is hugely debated in the fasting world.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm just going to give an easy principle that everybody can grab onto. Eat when it's light out. When it's light out, you don't have melatonin in your system. The minute it goes dark, we get melatonin because we're trying to prepare for sleep. So when melatonin goes up, you're more insulin resistant. So the meal you eat at 8 o'clock at night is going to be stored more as fat than if you have it at 5 in the afternoon.
Why is it so comforting to eat at night, though?
I know.
It just is like a late night snack, you know, an extra bowl of cereal for some reason.
You just trained yourself.
I trained myself, right?
Yeah.
So when I eat when it's dark, what is happening to my body?
When you're eating when it's dark, you have a little bit of a hormonal dilemma going on. Mm. Because when it's dark, the body's preparing for sleep. And so if we're eating, then two things can happen. You're more insulin resistant, like I mentioned, but then your digestive system's shutting down because you're going into what we call a parasympathetic relaxed state. So if you go to bed with a full belly, and that food is not going to be digested as well.
Really?
And so, I mean, there's a whole issue, a bunch of gut problems that can happen. That food can ferment at night, which now starts to create more like, you know, we can go down the path of candida and fungus, and that it's undigested food. Whereas if you eat at 5, go for a walk afterwards, like you're using that glucose, your body has the ability to digest. So, yeah, night eating's not good.
So what did you say? The digestion shuts down at night? Is that what it does?
It just slows down.
It slows down. So when you're asleep, let's say you have a meal or a snack or even a few almonds or something an hour before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Let's say you've eaten something. It could be ice cream, something healthy, something not healthy. And within an hour, you're eating it, then you go to bed. What is happening to the digestion during that process of sleep versus if you were awake at noon and you had that food?
Yeah. So when you're asleep, the body is repairing. So the food is definitely not breaking down as easily at night. So again, it's sitting there. It's not being digested as efficiently. So from a digestion standpoint, better digestion at noon than you're going to have at 9 o'clock. Now, you said something about what if you had a handful of nuts? What if you, like, I think what you eat matters.
Okay.
So if, I'll tell you something that I will often eat right before I go to bed is just, or at night if I'm craving it, is just a piece of really dark chocolate. One or two pieces, it helps that craving that you get. It doesn't spike my blood sugar because it's really dark chocolate. It's not a lot for the digestive system to work on. It's more like the big meals that we're talking about.
Gotcha.
That's going to be a problem.
Something tiny and healthy is not that bad.
That's right.
But if you have a big meal an hour before bed, it's probably not going to digest. You're not going to get the maximum nutrients out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. The digestion, you're not going to get as many nutrients, and you're going to create a real change in the microbiome. You're going to see more of that candida show up. That's going to give you sugar cravings.
And it's not going to help you burn fat at night either.
No, no, no.
Don't we burn the most fat when we're sleeping?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that?
Yeah. Well, think about what the body's doing when it sleeps. It's getting rid of anything that doesn't serve it. So, like, there's some really interesting research on, like, at 11 o'clock, certain organs repair. I know at 2 in the morning, the liver repairs, the adrenals repair. Like, your body goes through this massive, like, reboot. And so sleep is really important for that. Now, this is something really interesting that I've thought a lot about, and I wish we could reframe this. What is fat? So fat, all it is your body had to put excess somewhere. So it put excess glucose, it put excess hormones, it put excess toxins. So it stored it somewhere else so that it didn't store it in your organs, your internal organs. And when it stores it, if it stored it in your internal organs, your life would be shortened. So the body's so brilliant, it stores it somewhere else.
But we do have fat in our internal organs, right?
We visceral do. Fat, yeah, we right? do have visceral fat.
And we don't want that. That's the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst. Yeah. That's the body potentially had maxed out the other stores. So
really?
It went inward.
Do we store fat first internally in our organs, then excessively on the outside? Or is it outside first and inward?
Yeah, it's such a good question. So the three patterns are, first, when glucose goes up, it will be stored in the cells. So it's, to me, fat is a largely stored glucose. So it goes to the cells. When the cells are swimming and they can't take all that glucose in, then it's going to start to go to the muscles because it's so brilliant. The body's like, hey, I'm going to go pour in glucose because if we ever need to run from a tiger, I need to have those powered up and ready to go for your survival. Then if the muscles are saturated, it goes to the liver. And then usually at that point, it's also stored in as fat. So it has a system of where it wants to store it based off of your survival, because that's the number one priority of the body is to survive.
Right. So what would you say is the difference was between how men should be thinking about burning fat versus how women should be thinking about burning fat, unwanted fat?
Yeah. Oh, it's such a good question. And one I've never been asked before, and here I'm going to make a really bold statement that I don't think a lot of women will love, but it's part of living in a female body, is that a little bit of, we're meant to have a little bit of fat.
Oh, don't say that.
I know, right? Like a little bit.
Right,
I'm not
of course,
saying
of course.
Like, but we're not meant to be skin and bones.
Right.
We're meant to have a little bit of extra fat. It's part of like the female body. And because here's what's interesting, both men and women have, the body has one major thing it's focused on, which is survival, but women have two. We have reproduction. So our body's always, it doesn't want to be, think about when we're too thin, we bring calories down too much, our cycles stop.
Right.
So we need a little bit more padding to make the reproductive system work. Men don't need that.
And if a cycle stops for a woman, is that a bad thing?
Oh, it's a horrible thing.
Why is that bad?
Yeah, and thank you for asking that. I will say that one of the biggest ahas I've had from this book going out in the world is how many 20 and 30-year-olds don't have a cycle.
Really?
So this is what women need to know. Your cycle is a detox. You are shedding the inner lining of your uterus, and you are getting rid of what is not serving you. So it's not just a troublesome situation you have to deal with. Your body is getting rid of hormones, it's getting rid of toxins, it's how we detox.
It's recycling.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a fast.
It's like a fast.
Really? So a cycle is detoxing and getting rid of toxic things in the female body.
That's right.
And it happens once a month, right? Yes. Every 28, 30 days,
yeah,
roughly.
28 to 32. No woman has the exact same. I mean, every woman's different, but gotcha. 28 to 32.
Does it usually go in the same time for most women? Or when does it line up? And why do you hear that some women and families or friends say, oh, where our cycles are aligned?
Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with astrology or the moon? Does it have to do with what you're eating, how you're sleeping, your environment, your mood cycles, your age? How does it all work?
It's kind of all of it.
Really?
So here's something that I think women really need to know that is, again, different than men. And that's that our bodies are always adapting to our environment.
Women's are.
So if we're restrictive too much with our calories, this is why I taught fast, like a girl, when to fast and when not to fast. If we're too extreme with our exercise, if we're too extreme with our stress levels, whatever environment we're putting in, our hormones are like navigating that and adapting to that.
And your cycle will change based on that.
Your cycle will change based on off of that. I'll give you a great example. I had a friend who had, she had three, at the time she had two kids and was trying to get pregnant with a third. And she was struggling to get pregnant with a third. And she waited a year to go to this reproductive specialist who had her fill out like, you know, mounds of paperwork. She goes after a year of waiting, she sits down with this guy and he says, I'll tell you how you need to get pregnant. You need to stop doing so much.
Wow.
You need to stop stressing so much. And she was so upset. She left and she's like, I waited a year. I filled out all that paperwork. And then she was like, and that's what he told me? And she goes, and then I decided to try it. And within a month, she was pregnant.
Really? Why do you hear this a lot from, you know, women who say they can't get pregnant? And then you hear stories of, well, they were too much in control or they were stressing too much. And the moment you let go and surrendered, and then they got pregnant. Why do we hear that so frequently?
Yeah. So if you think about it, if reproduction is a top priority for a female body, if you're under so much stress, the body is like, it's not safe to house a baby.
Interesting.
The body's always doing the right thing at the right time. So if it's not able to have a baby, the first thing you have to ask is for the female, does my body feel safe? And sometimes you'll love this because you're such a mindset expert. I was going to call you a guru. You're a mindset guru. If you are thinking toxic thoughts, if you are constantly under, like not dealing with traumas in your life, if stress is really high, the body is always feeling like it's under threat, your hormones will go massively out of balance.
Really?
Yeah.
So your hormones are connected to the way you think. Also,
absolutely.
Do you think if a woman is subconsciously knows that they're in a relationship with the wrong person,
Ooh. They
married the wrong person, or they're trying to have kids with some man that subconsciously they know they're not supposed to, do you think that their cycle will be off or they won't get pregnant because they think that way?
I think it's very possible.
Really?
There's some interesting studies. I want to go back to the...
Because I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to feel safe for your hormones to be balanced. That's why fasting didn't work for women to do all the time. Because the body was like, wait.
Too stressful.
It's too stressful. But cycling fasting works for women. Because you're using the principles of fasting to heal. And you're using the principles of food to nourish yourself. So the body feels safe. And you do that in accordance with your hormones. And your cycle, and the body's like, I'm safe, I can release weight.
I want you to talk about cycling and fasting in a moment, but I think I just cut you off from something you were going
to say. Yeah, so I wanted to go into the pheromones for a second, because why do we cycle together? And then I wanted to talk about one study about birth control that was really interesting. So we cycle together, women do, because as crazy as it sounds, we smell each other.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a scent that we give off, and it changes our cycle. That's how powerful a woman's body is and how it will adapt to the environment it is in.
So when you smell another woman who has, it'll know when the cycle is happening and it'll sync up your hormones with theirs?
Yes, but it's when you're like in families and work environment.
When you're constantly with that person.
Yes, it's constantly. It's not like you go out into the world. And...
It's not like you see your girlfriend once a month and we're going to sync up right now.
They're called pheromones.
Pheromones.
Isn't that crazy?
That's fascinating.
Okay, second interesting study.
What is the reason behind that, you know, pairing of cycles within families or communities? Is there a safety thing when you're both in a cycle at the same time?
That's a great question. I always go back to our primal caveman days. I'm like, why did they? Because that's where you can really see, why did we do that?
I guess men back in the day used to spread their seed a lot. You know, just
maybe that was it.
You know,
maybe that was it. There was a lot of...
Who knows? To multiple women, at once.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, in tribal days, it was like, okay, the man with the most money or the doctor or the whatever, the person with the most resources is able to kind of spread their seed to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
For survival.
Yeah. It's possible. I think there's something I wrote in both my books called The Hormonal Hierarchy. And it works in women because our hormones are more complicated. So, and the hierarchy looks like this.
Well, you guys aren't simple?
We're not.
Okay.
Are you just thinking that out right now? We're not. It's so funny. So many men say to me, like, you said it. I didn't say it. So, and this is why I love conversations like this. Let's just, yes, we're not simple. And our moods constantly change.
Well, I think you can be simple when you understand a lot of this stuff, as opposed to feeling like, I don't know how to understand. Why am I feeling this way? Why are you feeling more stressed this time?
Yeah.
When we have awareness and we have an understanding of our body as a man, as our body, our hormones, or a different environment, things like that, we feel more at peace. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's going to give us 100% peace, but we're going to feel like, okay, I have a sense of understanding around it.
That's right.
And I think when women get an understanding around their bodies, their cycles, their hormones, like why they're gaining weight and why they're losing weight and all these different things, when they're aware of it, they don't have to feel as bad or shameful or anxious or stressed about it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's
exactly
right.
It doesn't mean it's perfect, but at least you have awareness.
You nailed it. And this is why I'm trying to open this conversation up so we can all talk about it. If you look at what we've done historically in our culture, is women we don't want to talk about our periods. We don't want to talk about menopause. We don't talk about it. It's like a shameful thing that we have to hide. And that's now changing, which is really great. But if we can bring it to the surface and talk about it, men and women can understand each other. Women can understand each other better. So it's so important that we bring it to the light.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So But here's what I want to go back to this pheromone.
I've got off so many different tangents.
I know, but you've got me thinking and excited. So here's what I think happens.
Yes.
Is in this hormonal hierarchy, in order for your sex hormones to be balanced, you have to be insulin sensitive. You have to have that system right, which is why I think Fast Like a Girl is so many women are getting their cycles back. They're getting pregnant for the first time because I help them see how to do that.
Interesting.
But what's in charge of insulin is cortisol. So like we talked about, well, okay, if cortisol is high, you become more insulin resistant and you have a harder time balancing sex hormones.
And cortisol is stress.
Cortisol is stress.
And is stress based on food stress, lack of sleep stress, environment stress, relationship stress, all of it?
All of it. Fasting raises cortisol.
Right.
Exercise raises cortisol,
mm-hmm.
which is why we have to do it differently as women.
Interesting.
But at the top of that all is oxytocin. And this is why I think perhaps we smell each other and would cycle together, because women are meant to be in community, because when oxytocin and we're connecting with each other, then cortisol goes down. This is why you should always let your gal go out on ladies' night, always.
Yeah.
Because now she gets oxytocin, it brings cortisol down. She's more relaxed. And then when she's more relaxed, now all the dieting and exercise that she wants to do is going to work. And when that it regulates insulin, now we can balance our hormones.
Wow.
So we're just humans in general, but women are geared towards connection.
Mm. And so what about, so you mentioned cycling fasting or fasting while cycling. How does a woman know when to fast and how frequently to fast?
Yeah.
Based on their cycle.
So in Fast Like a Girl, I created something called the fasting cycle for women. And basically, I walk through the whole menstrual cycle. I'll give you the basic principles of it.
Break it down for me.
Yeah. Yes. And showed women, this is when you fast, this is when you don't fast. And then I timed it to 6 different level fasts.
Give me the 101 of a menstrual cycle.
Okay. This is going to be great.
When does it start? Yeah. Or what happens the day it starts versus when it ends? Yeah.
Okay, great. And then you got to go home tonight.
I'm like, this is what I learned.
Yeah. And let me know how useful this is. Yeah. Because it's really interesting. If more men understood this, I think you'd understand the women in your life more. Okay, day 1 through day 10. Day 1 is the day a woman bleeds. A lot of women don't realize that that's day 1. So you have to use feminine care products. It's day 1. So your hormones actually come crashing down at that point. And for the next 10 days, you're going to specifically build a hormone called estrogen. Estrogen needs you to be insulin sensitive. So keeping your carb load down, keeping fasting longer, exercising more.
Really?
Those first 10 days, a woman can do it then.
That's when you can fast?
Yeah.
And exercise more?
Yeah. Yeah.
Day 1 through 10.
Day 1 through 10. And that's where keto works. That's where, the low carb situation worked really well in those first 10 days. The other unique thing about estrogen is when cortisol shows up, she doesn't care as much. She's a little tolerant of cortisol. The other interesting thing for you to know and anybody who's got a woman in their life, those first 10 days when estrogen builds, one piece of estrogen, it's called estradiol, stimulates dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, BDNF, acetylcholine, glutamate. So she's going to be happy, focused, more outgoing, want to socialize more.
Really? The first 10 days?
Give her a couple days after she starts to bleed, but as she gets closer to day 10.
Because usually when it starts, you hear people say a little more moody, right?
I think that's because we don't mind the back half of our cycle.
Really?
And so when I go all the way through, I'll explain
that.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Because Martha, my fiance, she really doesn't get moody. Like she doesn't get cramping.
Excellent.
It's really rare if she feels pain or feels... She might for like a couple hours be like, I just want to cuddle a little bit more or something like that. But I don't know, maybe that's...
She might
that
be doing this right, though. We're not meant to have... PMS is because we're going against our natural rhythm.
Really?
Yeah. Bad menopause symptoms also going against natural rhythms.
How many women do you think, percentage-wise, have, intense PMS?
Oh, I would say the majority of them.
Really?
But think about it. Women exercise the same all month long. Women eat the same all month long. women don't think about, oh, progesterone's coming in. I maybe need to slow down my life a little bit right now. We don't talk like that until this moment in time. And this is what, again, another thing I'm trying to open up this conversation. So we have been trying to diet and exercise and live life very much like a man.
Right. Especially in like the coastal cities, you see, you know, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but you see women going to the gym 5-6 days a week or getting up early and intense yoga, hot yoga every single morning. It's like, you got to get it in and you got to work hard. And, and it sounds like, yes, for a period of the month, but not the entire month.
Exactly.
Or for part of the week, but not the every day.
Exactly.
That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yes.
Got it.
That, and that is so important for women to hear. And when I get to the back half of the cycle, you'll understand why. But our hormones pulse in and out in a 28 to 32 day period. You all have one hormone. You have testosterone.
That's it.
That's it.
How many hormones do women have?
We have, well, sex hormones. Let's like, so we have three, but you also have estrogen, but you make testosterone. It goes up into the brain and converts into estrogen. So the conversion happens in the brain. So all you have to think about is make more testosterone, and you get it every 15-ish minutes.
Like every 15 minutes?
Yeah, just pulses in.
Really?
Hormones are always pulsing. So they pulse in every 15 minutes, and then it goes away. And then it pulses in, and then it goes away.
Naturally.
Yeah. You're highest in the morning. Testosterone's highest in the morning. Women.
That's why men usually have, you know, extra sex drive in the morning,
that's
right?
That's exactly why men have a higher sex drive in the morning.
Right.
And it's a good time to work out.
Is it the best time to work out, you think?
Yeah, because you have all that testosterone.
Energy, right?
Yep. And muscle building.
So it's better to work out for muscle building and fat loss in the morning for men than it is at night, would you say?
Clinically. Now, I want to be, because I've done
everyone's
this
enough. Everyone's different,
yeah. Yeah, I've done this enough times, and I know the men will be like,
I work out at midnight, and I burnt fat, and I got a six-pack, and you're like, okay, well, yeah.
Right. If you look at the rules of hormones, it for a man, well, all of us, it's better to work out in the morning, because the other thing we both get is spikes of cortisol in the morning. And if you use cortisol by working out, you won't store it as fat.
Right.
And for both men and women.
You feel relaxed. You feel more calm. You get more dopamine probably from the process of working out, I'm assuming.
That's right. But if you use testosterone, for you all, when testosterone comes in, if you're lifting weights, you're going to help build that muscle more. We only get testosterone. Check this out. We only get testosterone, a big surge of it, day 11 to day 15.
You don't get it for 10 days?
Yeah.
Really?
It comes in a big surge right in ovulation. So it's a great time for a woman to build muscle.
Mm.
It's, you're going to notice her libido is going to go up.
Right. She's going to want to have sex during then.
She's going to want to have sex more then. That one is like mind-blowing, right? How many men and women are a mismatch? And again, this is purely obviously a heterosexual moment. How many men and women don't feel like they're sexually matched right? But yet, do we understand that women get that surge of testosterone in that five-day period?
That's interesting. How do you time that up, though? It's like, okay, day one, she's got her period. She started bleeding, right? And you think, okay, 11 days from now. Let me put a mental note or put it in my calendar. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this is going to be the day, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound so like sexy though. When you think about it, let me like mark this on my calendar and really be aware of when she's going to be available at the best time.
Well, so here's what you can do is, I mean, I'm not saying don't have sex the rest of the month.
Right.
I'm just saying you got a shot, a big shot at that point. so just be aware of
sure,
that.
Sure. The woman may be more aroused.
That's right.
Gotcha.
She might have more desire.
Naturally.
Yeah.
And she can't even control it. She can't. I mean, the body is surging with the hormones,
sure.
Right?
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can mentally block it, but the body is naturally more turned on.
The body is naturally more turned on.
Okay. I mean, yes, you can control anything, but I'm just saying the body, you can't block the hormone.
I was thinking of like all these, this visual of like all these women like
jumping on men, ripping their clothes off.
That's right. It's not like that.
I can't control it.
It's not like that. Yes.
But the body, unless you, I guess, medically or put some medication, you can't block these hormones.
That's
what you're saying.
That's right. Well, I mean, there are situations like birth control pill has
blocking it.
Yeah, has manipulated.
You're taking a medication to block.
It's changed it. It's synthetically directing it.
And when a woman has been on birth control for multiple decades, what challenges might come up in their bodies with their hormones?
Well, this is a major issue for women, especially the younger women, is because it takes a couple of years for the pattern of the brain and the ovaries to get to know each other. So if we come in with birth control a year after a woman started her period, there's never an internal innate sense of the body. And then we keep women on birth control until menopause, and we take her off of menopause, and now she has a serious hormonal issue because she never learned that pattern.
Wow.
So that's one. Second one is horrible for the microbiome. Really? It decimates the microbiome. And you need your microbiome to make serotonin. You need it for immune system. You need your microbiome to break down estrogen. So
when you take that pill, and it's like a daily pill for like, what, 10, 12 days or something?
Yeah,
it's a month. It's like half the month?
Yeah.
You take it for 2 weeks?
Yeah, you have a cycle according to them.
When you take it, daily for like 2 weeks or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
What is in that pill, and what is it doing to your gut microbiome?
Yeah.
And what is it doing to your brain?
Yeah. Well, so it's controlling hormones for you. So you're adding in hormones into your body. So it's doing the controlling instead of the body and naturally doing it. So
is that good?
My opinion is no, but we have to really think about what the alternative is. We don't have any, and here's a question for you. I asked my 21-year-old son this recently. It's what has become standard for women to be the ones in charge of birth control. And when you look at the birth control pill, It is an exogenously from the outside controlling our hormones, which is setting us up for a whole bunch of hormonal problems. There's some new research where they're looking at a pill for a man that would change
the semen, the sperm, right?
It'd change sperm.
Huh.
Now, would you take it?
I wouldn't take it.
Why wouldn't you take it?
Why would I want to block my body's natural way of being?
Then the same as goes for women.
Yeah, I'm not saying women should take it.
I know, that is.
Well, I wouldn't take it unless they were like, listen, there are zero side effects. And right when you got off of it, you would be perfectly back to where your body was in sync. Yeah. And your sperm would be just as optimized or healthy or powerful, whatever it is. And there wouldn't be, you wouldn't hurt your sperm later.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, okay, well, if there's decades of research and this is proven and babies are still okay afterwards, then I'd be like, oh, maybe. I don't know if I was 20 or something,
yeah.
But it's not something I would take right now.
So that's what's happening to women.
Really?
Is that we have manipulated our hormones, and this is why so women's health is in a really disastrous place right now. So I totally hear what you're saying, and I would agree, yeah, your logic is right, but we've been doing this to women forever.
Why? I mean, this is probably a whole other subject, but why is birth control such a normal thing if it's so bad for women's bodies?
Yeah. Why do we do it? It's because the alternative is nobody wants to have a child.
Young.
Or a young child.
Yeah.
And
what's more painful? Hurting your body for decades and maybe a lifetime.
Yeah.
Having a child young, I get it's a big risk and there's a lot of pain and pressure that could come to that, along with a lot of beauty and wonder and magic as well. But at what price?
Somewhere along the line, we decided that the woman was in charge of the birth control process. And we didn't think, I will say this with as much kindness as I can.
Yes. And I'm not here to judge people.
Me neither.
My sisters were both on birth control for a long time. It's one of the reasons why I asked, because one of my sisters was on birth control, I think, for 2 decades.
Yeah.
And she couldn't get pregnant.
Right.
And it was devastating. For like 4 or 5 years, she was trying and she could not get pregnant, to the point where she gave up.
Yep.
Right? She was just like in tears for months.
Yep.
Sad that she wasn't able to have a child.
Yep.
And there were some other complications. I can't remember the terminology of things. It was something she had. But it wasn't in her cards anymore.
Yep.
And she was in her late 30s and she was devastated.
Yeah.
And then she got off of birth control and just said, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to be a mom. And then 4 or 5 years later, she was able to have a child. Like, it kind of magically happened. But, and now she's got an amazing, 1.5-year-old son. So it's a beautiful thing now, but it was really scary and painful for many, many years. And, you know, it's sad to see. And it affected her hormones and different things.
Yeah.
It took time for the body to re-regulate.
That's it, exactly. I mean, you just painted the picture that so many women are struggling with. And so when we come in with an outside source to manipulate our hormones, when we get off of that outside source, we don't have a natural rhythm. And that's honestly one of the things that I'm seeing with Fast Like a Girl when I go and read my reviews and see how people are responding to it, is I just gave a lifestyle that allowed women to get back into routine with their hormones.
Right.
So it's awesome. She has it now. It took her 4 to 5 years. Yeah. But what I'm hoping is that we can use lifestyle as a way to give that rhythm back.
Right. And you said between day 11 and 15, that's when there's a surge of testosterone for women in their cycle. What happens after day? And that's when they can be working out harder. That's when you can go to the gym 4 or 5 days that week and push it a little more.
Well, so day 1 through day 10, you can do the hard workouts.
Okay.
Day 11 to day 15, you get the most amount of testosterone you'll ever get. You have the most amount of estrogen you'll ever have, and a little bit of progesterone. So let's talk about that period, because it's a really cool period. So testosterone is libido and motivation and drive. Estrogen is, she's going to want to talk to you. She wants to have a call. So if you want to have sex with her, you better talk to her first. Because she's, during that time, she's got estrogen. She wants to verbally process with you. So her brain,
especially
is
late at night.
Yes.
When you just want to sleep.
Yep. Yeah. Her brain is like on fire. And then she's got progesterone, so she's a little bit calm. So that is, I called it in the book, the manifestation phase, because I was like, oh, we are super, our superpowers, like we put on our hormonal superpower cape and we could manifest a baby, we could manifest a raise, we could manifest some new project at work, because all our hormones show up then.
So for those 4 days, is it just you're sharper, you're more focused, you're more energized, you're clear, you're like goal-oriented during those days,
you know what you want
to create?
That's how we should be. So women listening that are like, I don't feel like that, I'm going to ask you to look at, are you living a lifestyle in accordance with your hormones?
Okay.
So let's go to your fiance, who is like, this is kind of, you know, her period and menstrual cycle's easy. She's probably, if she looked at it, is living in accordance with her hormones.
She is. She is.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's doing amazing.
Yeah.
She's got great family relationships, great friendships. She's got a meaningful work that she loves. She eats very well, you know, very clean. She rests well. She's positive and joyful. She has an attitude of just gratitude and giving and thoughtfulness and
I love
accepting.
That.
She doesn't hold on to grudges.
Yeah.
Like she has a calm mind in the sense that it's not a rigid mind.
Yeah.
She lets go of things.
That's amazing.
She creates boundaries and lets go of things, right? She forgives people. So she doesn't have a lot of stress and tightness internally.
Yeah.
I think that allows her to flow and not be in pain or have PMS or be like cramping a lot or off cycles.
That, you nailed it. I mean, you just gave the formula for oxytocin.
Really?
So she gets a lot of oxytocin is what I just heard.
All day.
Yeah. So it's balancing everything else out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's day 11 to 15.
Yeah. Day 10, day 11 through 15 is that ovulation manifestation period. Lifestyle wise, this is something interesting that I've been really deep into thinking is if women have the most amount of testosterone, then why don't we use that to build muscle? So maybe you've had him on your show. Do you know Tony Horton?
I know Tony. I don't know him that well, but I haven't had him on yet.
Yeah. You should bring him on. He's a funny guy.
Yes.
So he and I created a program together last year, a fitness program called PowerSync 60.
Oh.
And we took his genius of like putting workout programs together with my knowledge of hormones. And so it's out there in the world. You can find that.
Very cool.
But I brought it to him. I'm like, why don't you have a monthly calendar for women's workouts? Why do we have a weekly calendar? And so we put a lot of weightlifting in during that time. That's the time you want to live heavy weights for women so that you can build more muscle.
That's interesting. Okay. So after day 15, then what?
Okay. So then after day 15, and then also fasting during that manifestation, keep it low. You don't want it really high. You've got, you know, eat more like foods that support good gut health. Be mindful of your liver. Maybe chill out on the alcohol a little bit so you can break all those hormones down.
Okay.
Then you come out of ovulation and all the hormones crash again. So it's kind of like, this is, you'll notice it in our attitude. We have like, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down, because that's how our hormones go. So when the hormones go low, you can fast more. So that's a time where you can go into some longer fasts. You can do harder workouts like day 11 to day 19. I'm sorry, day 15. 16 to day 19.
You can fast longer. So you can go, what, 10 to 12 hour fasts or?
Well, longer is like
16,
36, 48.
48 hour fasts. Yeah. Okay, so during those days, you can go longer.
You can go longer. Yep.
You can go 2 days without eating. Wow.
Yep.
And what do you consider a fast?
Anything that doesn't raise your blood sugar. So
what can you consume?
Yeah, so water, mineral water, teas, coffee. You can do MCT oil. If you want to do butter in your coffee, that works. Yeah. You just need to make sure it doesn't raise your blood sugar.
Okay.
But so there's actually apple cider vinegar, water, if you want.
Do electrolytes.
You can do electrolytes, yeah. It just can't have a sugar or a sweetener of any kind.
Can have salt, like element
salt
tea.
Salt is really, element tea is amazing.
You can do that during a fast.
Yeah. Yes. Really. Do you know that element tea was actually created for fasters?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So the idea was to.
I love it.
I do too. The idea was to put it in water when fasters so that they're getting those magnesium, sodium, and potassium so the body can fast better.
Yeah. Interesting. So you can do a few packs of that a day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so that's day 16 to 19.
When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Yeah. And then day 20 hits. And
is
everything
that the
changes.
End of the cycle?
Yeah. So day 20 hits and progesterone appears. Okay, so progesterone's the outlier. She does not like stress. So you shouldn't be fasting. You shouldn't be pushing your workouts. You should slow your social calendar down if you can. You should slow down your workouts. That's more yoga, Pilates, hiking. Make that your recovery time. That's not a time to push extreme anything. In the book, I call it the nurture phase because I want women to nurture themselves. But if we go back to the libido topic, it also can be a great time if you... if you want to connect with the women in your life during that time, foot rubs, kind comments, shoulder rubs, like gentle, be gentle with us and you will get a better version of us.
Right. I mean, if you do that every day with a woman, you'll probably get a better version
of
them.
But that
too,
week is the one that really matters.
If you talk kindly, if you rub it back every day, it's probably going to be a better day. And so what is... okay, so this is the 20-day cycle, menstrual cycle for women.
Well, and then you do that until she bleeds, until she starts.
So then it's 10 or 12 more days or 8 days later until she bleeds. Then it starts all over again.
It starts all over again. So the women that are having really heavy PMS, the women, a lot of menopausal women that get a lot of clotting when they start to bleed, they have really bad periods. It was the week before they didn't mind.
Really?
Yeah. So that's if you bring, and oh, here's the other thing about progesterone, you have to bring glucose up. So this is why almost every woman I talk to And I know there's a few outliers out there because I'll get that question. But we crave carbs. We crave chocolate. We don't want to, we want to sit on the couch. We're not as like outgoing. But we've taught ourselves to push through that time. So there's a reason you crave carbs. You got to bring that glucose up so that you have enough fuel source for progesterone to be made.
Mm. So what are the key steps then during that 10-day period, or I guess really during the whole cycle, to optimize your lifestyle for hormones?
Yeah. Well, it would be in the front half of it. Let's make it as simple as possible. The front half of your cycle, all the extremes that you want to do.
Okay.
Whatever it is, working out, dieting, fasting typically does better. In the back half of your cycle, there needs to be more nurturing and more recovery.
It's interesting because you would think as a man that when your woman starts her period, that's when you would want to take it easy on her.
Yeah.
Or like make sure she relaxes and chills out. That's what I would think. Like, okay, she's on her period. She's probably going to be moody or whatever. Yeah. That might be the way of thinking. But what I'm hearing you say is like, that's the time to push things, like more than normal.
Yeah.
That's the time to like get organized, work out, you know, fast, and to be more in the drive phase versus the nurture phase. Yeah.
The nurture happens before. Right before it. So like
day or period starts, like let's get in action.
Well, the first 2 days, you give us
okay.
a couple days.
Okay, I'm just trying to get clear here.
Like the first 2 days, remember the we went from progesterone really building, a little bit of estrogen comes in, and then our uterine lining sheds.
Okay.
So the first 2 days, we're detoxing. Yeah, those are kind of magical days. Like we have access to both sides of our brain. So we may still feel a little more inner.
Okay.
But on day three, we start coming outward more, and that's when we can push it more.
So good to know. So the day the menstrual cycle starts, when she starts bleeding, wait a couple of days until you get things into action is what you're saying.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is good. This is
Is that helpful?
This is very helpful, I think. I mean, what else should men know or women know about their cycle?
I think the biggest challenge I'm seeing and why we have all these hormonal problems is that just women need more rest and recovery. And it's a really hard concept because...
How do you tell women that in the modern world today to say, women, you need more rest and recovery. You shouldn't be pushing as hard. You shouldn't be as driven in certain days of the month. And that's not what your body wants.
Yeah.
It's hard for... I would think that it's hard for a modern woman who is very independent, who makes their own money, who's got a great job, who is in control of their life.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too much.
Yeah.
For their hormones liking. It's probably hard for them to hear that.
Yeah, it is. And I am one of those women, just so we're clear. Like, I'm not here like proselytizing a Puritan lifestyle. I'm here saying that what we did to keep up with the patriarchal world, which to me just means the power to be at the table with men
right.
be there where we deserve to be, is we forgot that we do need more rest and recovery. So we get to choose where that is. So let me give you a couple examples. That week before your cycle for women, maybe you don't, if you have a lot at work, then don't tack on a whole bunch, a new workout and really stress yourself working out. And don't tack on a fast, don't tack on like rigid diet routines. There needs to be something that's nurturing you during that time.
And don't go out every night of the week.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you can come into the front half of your cycle and you're working with your hormones. So you actually will be more powerful. I mean, and again, if we look at hormones, we have three hormones. And these three hormones are making all kinds of neurotransmitters in our body. So on a neurochemical level, we're a little more superior. Just saying.
Okay. If you are in alignment with those hormones.
That's right. But we've never been in alignment with it.
Wow. Well, maybe we have in the past, right? But
maybe primal days.
Right, exactly. So when women are in alignment with their hormones, they are unstoppable.
Bingo.
But when they're out of alignment, they're just hurting themselves.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Wow. This is fascinating.
Right? But we do everything very similar in lifestyle to men. And we need to realize that we are living in a different body. So
a lot of people don't want to hear that, though.
They don't want to hear that. So, like, you could do, it could be as simple as the week before your period, get to sleep a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
You know, do more yoga and then go to work and kick butt at work. But maybe if there's a big project that you're about, that you have control over, could you start it at the front half of your cycle, not at the back half?
Just goes back to know thyself.
That's right.
Know thyself, study yourself, understand how your body, your mind, everything works. Be a student of yourself and your health for sure.
That's right.
So there's three hormones that women have, right? And there's one that men have.
Well, one, you have two, because you have estrogen too. It just is made in the brain.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The main one that's being generated is testosterone. And the three for women are?
Progesterone, estrogen, and
testosterone. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing you say is that men should fast differently than women.
Yeah.
And men, can we fast daily? Is there a time where we should stop fasting?
Yes.
Can we do intermittent fasting every day for years? Should we take a break day, you know, weekend? Or what should we be doing?
Yeah. So again, let's go back to our primal friends.
Yes.
And let's think about them. So you can fast. You don't have anything to cycle it to. You do really well with fasting. And you just have to have moments where you're feasting too. So let's go. The man comes out of the cave in the primal days. He goes hunting for food. He's now clicked over. Maybe it takes a long time to make a kill. So he's clicked over into that ketogenic energy system. He finally makes a kill, comes back home, brings it to the cave, and cooks it up and feasts. So if men stay in a fasted state all the time without stepping out and eating, eventually it'll catch up with you. So women, we just have to do that according to our hormones. Because if we go back to our primal friends, that it was around right before the before we got our period that we were probably sequestered off. We don't have documentation of this, but hypothetically, we were probably sequestered off and were more in a nurture phase. So we weren't out doing the kill.
Right. When you were bleeding, you weren't like going off and working the first few days.
That's right. Yeah. But probably once, like the days leading up to our bleed, then we would bleed. And then we probably went and perhaps joined the pack to go make a kill. We're like so primal.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to go back to the women having these superpowers and having this kind of manifesting masters when you're in alignment with your hormones.
Yeah.
What do men and women need to do for their brains to be wired for abundance hormonally? How can we wire our hormones to be connected to our brains to see the world differently?
Yeah.
To make better decisions and to attract opportunities, abundance, and good things into our life better.
Ooh, I love this question. This is so good. Let's start with women. For starters, we do exactly what we've been talking about. We have to know how to live a lifestyle that is in accordance with our hormones.
And do you have like key tenets of this lifestyle? Do you have
It would be fasting, food, working out, sleep, and probably socializing. I'm going to put socializing and work. Like those six things, if you could time them and know how to do them with your hormones, you are absolutely increasing your ability to attract more abundance in your life.
And these six things kind of create your environment.
That's right.
Everything within your environment of your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
If those things are in alignment with healthy habits and healthy living and healthy choices, I'm assuming you're going to feel better.
That's right.
But if one of them or a few of them are off or all of them are off, your hormones are probably going to be off too.
That's right. So what's the consequence of your hormones being off? We can talk about PCOS, weight gain, menopausal symptoms. I mean, there's a lot. PMDD is a new concept that's just being talked about.
What is that?
Really bad premenstrual symptoms.
Okay.
So all of that that we have like fancy names for, I equate to we're just living out of accordance with our hormones. So when you're physically suffering, you're not a money magnet for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at what happens to women when they go through menopause, we start to lose one hormone or a component of estrogen called estradiol. When we lose that, we lose all those neurotransmitters that I talked about. And we react to stress a lot more acutely. Our ability to hold on to information becomes more difficult because we lose BDNF because we lost estradiol. So again, that's why the menopause reset, I talk about perimenopause and postmenopause, because there's another level of lifestyle that needs to come in there to accommodate all of the loss of neurochemicals. I mean, it's really like,
wow,
it's intricate.
Yes.
But it, once you understand it, like, you're again, a woman becomes unstoppable. Does that make sense?
That's powerful, yeah.
Right?
And what's the best way that a man or a woman can clean up their insulin system?
Fasting. That's why it's taken over the world.
I know. What's the downside to fasting?
If you do it too much, for women, it's changes to our hormones. So that's why I wrote the whole book.
So it's almost like women need to be very mindful when they start fasting.
How the time of the
month.
How
and when.
Yeah.
For how long, and they need to test it a little bit more.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
Don't just jump in and try to do it like men would try.
Yeah.
Because there's certain apps that might just say, okay, just go for 20 hours a day or 16 hours a day. Yep. And just do it every day and, you know, rank yourself amongst your peers and try to, you know, compete.
Yeah.
And that's probably not the way that women should be thinking
about it, right? That's right. Nobody should be competing in fasting.
Right, exactly.
Even men.
But there's the gamification of apps that are like, okay, your score is up, keep going and go a little longer. And
yeah.
So you know, it's like that whole gamification can be tricky psychologically for people.
Yes.
So for women, I'm hearing you're fasting, but be very mindful and test it and track it.
Yes. Track it, test it, experiment. I mean, the Fast Like a Girl has become the manual for women, so it's all in there. You can go to my YouTube. I have a bunch of things there. And I'm just saying that because we just consolidated it in one location.
Yep.
But then I will say this. I say this all the time. Then test it, like you said. Test it for you.
Test it.
See if it works. Yeah. You might find you can fast a little longer during ovulation than my recommendation. If it works, then great. But the problem was that we didn't have this conversation when fasting took over the world. So all these people started to lose weight, and women started to lose hair. They started to lose cycles. Their thyroids crashed because they weren't given the formula, and now they have the formula.
That's kind of scary, right? When fasting,
crazy,
fasting kind of took over. Really, in the last 4 to 5 years, I would say it's got more popularized, right? Yeah. And how many women were coming to you saying that this doesn't work?
Hundreds of thousands.
Really?
So this is actually really interesting. So. I was the first one. So I found out about fasting, loved it, started, and I was about 44 years old at the time. I'm 54 now. And I was like, okay, this is great. And all of a sudden I started dropping weight. My moods improved. Like every perimenopausal symptom I had went away. And then I started to notice like anxiety crept up. I started going into menopause at 45. And I was like, this doesn't seem right. The later I go, like the average age for a woman going into menopause is like 52. So I ran a Dutch hormone test on myself, and my hormones were completely tanked because I was fasting too much.
Wow.
What were you doing at that time? For how long?
Oh, I was doing like one meal a day. I was doing 3-day water fasts a couple times a year, like 3, 4, 5 times a year. I felt so good. And that's the problem. You do feel so good.
That first year, because your body's getting rid of all the dead fat cells and the toxic cells. Yeah. You're flushing it out, right?
Yeah.
But then your hormones weren't feeling good.
Right.
But when did you start to feel the negative symptoms of fasting?
It was about a year of doing all that.
A year in.
Yeah.
Your body was like, all right, this is too much.
Yeah. So then I broke the menstrual cycle down, and I was like, okay, wait. Progesterone doesn't do well with cortisol. Wait, progesterone needs glucose up. Okay, I got to change that. And then I went to the ovulation part of my cycle, and I was like, wait, I should be focusing more on my gut and my liver. How can I support those with food? And I started to change that. And then literally I was like almost in menopause at 45, and my cycle came back. And then I didn't.
You're almost in menopause at 45. So you just weren't having your
just wasn't
period anymore. It was gone.
It was gone.
And for how long?
Yeah, it was about 3 or 4 months.
Okay, so you're like, this isn't, I'm feeling good, my body is looking good, but I'm not, something's off.
Yeah, and anxiety was through the roof. I couldn't sit on the couch and relax anymore because progesterone makes GABA. And so what I did is I killed progesterone. And then progesterone's what allows that uterine lining to shed. I wasn't making the neurotransmitter to calm me. So anxiety was showing up for the first time in my life. But I loved the weight I was.
Yeah, you were like, I look great. I feel strong.
That's right.
Interesting. So yeah. When did it start to come back? Like, when did the cycle come back and you realized you started testing different things?
It was within 90 days.
Wow.
And then I got really excited about it and I was like, well, let me test it on my patients. So we started testing it on the patients that were hormonal hot messes, and they all started coming back within 90 days. They're like, oh my gosh, all that stuff you had been giving me supplements for, like, they're all balanced now. Then I was like, okay, let me test it on women that are struggling with pregnancy. That one blew me away. So I had a couple of staff members that were struggling to get pregnant. And I was like, I think this might be the cure or the thing that will help you. I don't know. Let's try it.
Fasting or taking it off fasting?
The fasting like a girl.
Yeah.
So knowing how to go in
at the right times.
At the right time. All of them got pregnant within a month.
Wow.
And you go to my YouTube videos, you go to my reviews on Amazon. I mean, that we've been able to reproduce this over and over again. So that, when then I started teaching it on YouTube.
That's cool.
And you have a channel. I really looked at YouTube, my YouTube community, as like an incubator.
Yeah.
So I would say, hey, you all go, this is what I think is working. This is years ago. Go try it. And then millions of women all over the world flooded our channel and just started saying like, hey, this is working. This is, so we just took inventory of what was working and not working. And that's why I think Fast Like a Girl is resonating.
That's amazing.
We tested it all.
That's so cool.
It's really cool.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
It's really fun.
What do you think is the hardest thing about getting our hormones in alignment and healthier?
Well, the first is understanding it. So this is why...
Even if we have all this information, because a lot of us understand, eat less, eat better things, and we'll... feel better.
Yeah.
But we eat poorly. We eat sugar. We overeat. Yeah. We overconsume. You know, we're influenced by marketing, by abundance of it, whatever it might be. You know, lack of motivation, whatever it might be, we're influenced.
Yeah.
We're out at parties, you know, whatever it is.
It's the modern world.
A lot of us know we're not supposed to do certain things and we still do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to judge. Because I eat sugar, you know, a lot, just with the best of them. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not supposed to do it, right? I know it's hurting me, but I've eliminated so many other things that I'm like, okay, this is the only thing I'm going to allow myself to have every once in a while.
Right? That's right.
But what is holding us back, you know, the most? Is it a lack of discipline, a lack of motivation? Is it our environment? Is it our family's habits that have passed down to us that now we're just... in routine from what they've done? Is it our friends? Is it just we have too much access to devices that are marketing to us these things and causing stress? Is it everything?
It's all of that. I mean, this is why I say we're at a mismatch with the modern world. But if we just take, this is why I want to simplify it, because it would be easy to listen to everything you just said and think, well, I'm screwed then. Like, okay, that's impossible. And I'm saying that it's not impossible and you should take steps. So let's start with the food step. The food, the processed food is made to make you addicted to it. So how do we change that alone? Okay, well, if I can get you to fast, I actually can get you to start to feel better without food. And your microbiome will change and your food choices will change. If we start there, we start to clean up the hormonal system. Because the food industry is working to keep you addicted to food.
Yes.
So they have no incentive for you to not be addicted to their food.
To fast. There's no incentive.
There's no incentive to fast.
They don't make any money.
That's right. But if I can get you to fast, I can change your microbiome, I can get you feeling good there, you're going to make better food choices. And there's tons of research. My favorite story that I tell all the time right now is a man came to me. He was 300 pounds. And he said, I really need your help. And I said, okay, tell me what's going on. He said, I need to lose weight. I said, okay, why? He said, I need to stay alive for my family. Mm. I was like, I'm in. How can I help you? I said, what's your biggest hurdle? He goes, I'm food addicted. I drink 12 sodas a day. Oh. I can't get off the buffalo wings. I can't get off the fast food. Well, those are making you addicted. They want you to be addicted. So I took his addicted food and I just started to have him eat it within a certain period. First month, I got him where he was only eating that horrible food within like a 10-12 hour period. The rest was fasting. First month, drinking 12 sodas, eating buffalo wings, he lost 13 pounds.
Just by eating it within a window.
Just by compressing it into one window. Second month, I said to him, can you just do the soda outside the house? Like, just don't bring the soda inside the house. Stay with this eating window. I think he was doing like an eating window of like 8 hours by that time. So he's going 16 hours of fasting. He lost 9 pounds. Next month, I still haven't taken much away from him. I had him add protein in. He started to add protein and he lost 15 pounds.
Wow.
We did this routine and then I got him into some longer fast. We got him like, it was just a process. I just saw him for the first time. He's down 175 pounds.
Wow, that's incredible.
And we started with when he ate, not what he ate. I didn't recognize him. It blew me away when I saw him. I was like crying. We were both crying. And all we did is change when he ate. And that was the door in to change everything else.
Wow. Does he still eat certain unhealthy foods? Or is he now like, okay, I know the value of these nutritional foods and I'm going to eat more of these and less of the bad foods?
So he still eats. He still, every once in a while, the majority of his diet is really good now.
Yeah, 80-90%.
80-90%. Because he started craving different foods.
Your taste buds change. Your microbiome, you're craving different things. They want healthier things.
That's right. But what we came up with the help, there was a team of us that were started like rallying around him like an exercise specialist and a life coach and everything. And the life coach came up with this idea of like, okay, if you're going to go off your diet, just don't do it 2 days in a row. You can do it one, but then the next day you have to clean it up.
Two turns into five.
That's
right. You know, two just like, well, let me just roll into this the next day.
I thought that was a really good,
idea.
That's a really good rule.
Yeah.
Just don't do it 2 days in a row.
That's really good. Dr. Mindy, I have so many more questions I want to ask you, but we've got to wrap things up here in a minute, so I've got a couple final ones. If you guys are fascinated by this, listening on audio or YouTube, and you want another episode with Dr. Mindy to go in deeper, because I didn't even ask most of my questions, then leave a yes below for another episode or part two. Type in yes or another episode in the comments, and share your biggest takeaway as well in this episode so far. What has shocked you or what has helped you or... what's the thing you've underlined the most from this conversation? Leave that in a comment below. Your book, Fast Like a Girl, sold over 400,000 copies in the first year so far, is helping so many women get healthier, you know, lose the right types of weight, balance their hormones, you know, look younger, feel better, all these different things. And so I want people to get your book, Fast Like a Girl, A Woman's Guide to Using the Healing Power of Fasting to Burn Fat, Boost Energy, and Balance Hormones. Make sure you get this for a friend. Get it as a gift for a woman in your life. They will thank you and send them a link to this episode as well. You also have the Menopause Reset. Get rid of your symptoms and feel like your younger self again. So make sure you guys check out this. You've got a few other books on your website. Your YouTube channel has, at the time of posting this, we'll probably have 1 million subscribers by now.
Thank you.
Posting 5 days a week, great content. So people can search over on your YouTube channel and on your podcast to get a lot more information on this. We barely scratched the surface. I'm fascinated. This is inspiring stuff. Is there anything else we can send people to support you to today before the final couple questions?
Oh, you're so sweet. I mean, again, play with the principles.
Yes.
So YouTube's my passion project. I pour my time and soul into that. So go there, get the books, and leave comments on my YouTube and what you want to know more about, because I do have a team there that's scouring that. So I think that's probably the best place to go.
That's exciting. Very cool. And the YouTube link is, what's the link there?
It's just my name, Dr. Mindy Pels.
Dr. Mindy Pels over on YouTube. Perfect.
Yep.
This is a question I ask everyone towards the end called the three truths.
Hmm.
So imagine a hypothetical scenario. It's the last day on earth for you, many years away. You get to live as long as you want, but it's the last day.
Yeah.
And you get to create and experience all the things you want to in this life for the rest of your life. But for whatever reason, on this last day, you've got to take all of your work with you. Your books, this conversation, all your YouTube videos, they all go with you when you pass away. But you get to leave behind one final message. And this is all we would have of yours. And this final message is your three truths, the three lessons you would leave behind. And we wouldn't have access to anything else. What would those three truths be for you?
Well, the first one goes for both men and women, but I really want women to hear this. You are more powerful than you've been taught. Your body is a freaking miracle. It can heal. It can adapt. It knows what it's doing. Trust it. That would be the first one. My second truth would be people matter. Who you surround yourself with, who you connect with. Don't isolate yourself. Don't surround yourself with people that bring you down. People matter. Hormonally, they matter. And then my third one would be a lifelong learner. Just keep learning. Stay curious. Stay curious. We live in a world where we want to cancel everybody out because they don't think like us. But the people that don't think like us actually can help us deepen our thoughts. So stay curious to all information.
Oh, those are great truths. Dr. Mindy, I want to acknowledge you for a moment because you've been doing this work for over 25 years, but it really hasn't been until the last year, after 25 years, where all this stuff has taken off into the world in a bigger way.
Yeah.
So I want to acknowledge you for dedicating most of your life to this work, to helping women men, but doing it where, you know, maybe you're only working with your local community for many of those years.
Yeah.
And it wasn't being spread to the masses and it wasn't, you know, selling hundreds of thousands of copies of your book, but you showed up daily to learn, to try new things, and to serve people.
Yeah.
And that has made a big impact on the world by your commitment and your dedication. So I really acknowledge you for your lifelong service to healing and health. It's really powerful and it's helping a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful we got to connect and
I
hope we get to do this again.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'd love to come back and thank you. I appreciate your kind words.
Yeah.
And like we started off, I've been a fan of your podcast for years.
I appreciate it.
I really feel like conversations like this can really impact people's lives if you just sit with the information and see what resonates.
Absolutely.
So thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. Final question. What's your definition of greatness?
Trusting yourself. Trusting your own inner guidance.
There you go, Dr. Mindy. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's episode with all the important links. And I want to remind you, if no one has told you lately, that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.